Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 22nd, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Weed Witches Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "We need to realize that our path to transformation is through our mistakes. We're meant to make mistakes, recognize them, and move on to become unlimited." By Yehuda Brook. So this actually reminds me of a quote from Parks and Rec, where it's one of my absolute favorites. It's one of those quotes that pops into your head when maybe you're going through a hard time, or you feel shameful or guilty or anything like that. And it's Ron Swanson, and I guess Leslie did something wrong, and she's really struggling with it and beating herself up over it. And Ron says something along the lines of, "Do you know what makes a good person a good person?" And it's that they make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and then they move on. And I really like that. It's not that good people don't make mistakes, or they don't do things that they regret or are guilty for or shameful. And I do worry that, like, kind of in this social media world that we're in, or TikTok world that we're in, we're losing the ability to let people make mistakes, to be wrong without being bad people. I think we're moralizing things a little bit more than we should be. And yeah. All right. So we are talking about magnolias today. And we're going to talk about the history of the magnolia flower. And if you're new or you haven't been around in a while, we're taking a tea break because I need a tea break. I need to reset. I need to love tea again, you know? So I just need a tea break so I can come back and love tea. And I already have some ideas for the next tea we're going to do for Sip a Spell, which we are restocking. It took me a while to start restocking again. Because, you know, when you are running a small business out of your home, especially one where you have ingredients, so much of how you process everything is based off of your space. And because I just moved, my space changed, and it changed how I need to organize and even just process my teas. And it took me a lot longer to figure that out. So I'm still in the middle of restocking, but I am shipping out. I'm shipping out within a day or two of ordering. So we're back to normal. And I thank everyone for how patient they were while I was just trying to figure that out. That's the hard part about running a small business out of your home, is that when anything happens or there's changes, it just really puts like a wrench in that whole thing. So let's talk about the history of magnolias from carehays.co.uk. "No group of trees and shrubs is more favorably known or more highly appreciated in gardens than magnolias, and no group produces larger or more abundant blossoms," stated the great Chinese plant explorer Ernest Wilson soon after the turn of the 19th century. So magnolia was named by the Swedish botanist Carl Linnaeus in 1737 in honor of the French botanist Pierre Magnol. The plant which Magnol had described is what we would now know as the magnolia, which is an evergreen American species. Even though, despite its name, was already growing in Europe by the mid-18th century. So magnolias are one of the more primitive plants in evolutionary history, and fossil records show that magnolias once existed in Europe, North America, and Asia over 100 million years ago. Today, they are indigenous only in southern China and southern U.S. There are about 80 species of magnolias, of which roughly half are tropical. And some of the earliest references to magnolias in literature refer to their purported medicinal properties, which we'll talk about this week. Anyone who has smelt the peculiar smell of magnolia sap and what an alluring sap it is, we'll see how likely this was to appeal to those involved in medicine. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from English.elpaz.com. Witchcraft reaches the classroom. So witches and sorceresses are reoccurring characters in classical ballets and great works of literature. In the art by Max Ernst and Lucio Fontana, there are traces of this passion for alchemy, while Joan Miró's paintings reveal its interest in astrology, as was evident in his exhibition called The Occult, which was held last summer at the Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum in Madrid. The city's National University of Distance Education subsequently followed up on the topic with a course. This hidden art, persecuted by institutionalized religions in the past, has historically been viewed with distance and contempt by the academic world, but the situation is changing. As interest in this parallel history increases around the world, prestigious universities are rushing to incorporate it into their course offerings. The University of Amsterdam offers a major in Western esotericism, while the University of Madrid now teaches the subject magic and religion. And the University of Exeter has announced a master's degree starting in September 2024 that, under the title Magic and Occult Science, aims to review the history of magic in Greece and Rome. In addition to delving into the history of witchcraft, the presence of magic and literature and folklore. So freaking cool. So we're seeing more witchcraft, religion, ritual studies entering into the classroom. I was supposed to take a course with Oxford 2 years ago called Ritual and Religion. Let me see if I can pull it out. Yeah, Ritual and Religion in Prehistory. And it looks like they're offering it again. Do I have time? Do I have money and time to take this? I have time. I don't have the money. So it's going to have to wait. But I really want to, actually, let me just read the books. Like, I've taken courses with Oxford, and I found the books are really amazing, and the lectures are fine. So I might just do that. Unless I want credit. I don't know. You guys don't need to help me decide. I'll figure it out. Maybe it's like a fun thing I can do at the end of the year. A little treat for myself. Let's take this little course. That could be fun. That's a good idea, I think. Okay. Yes. So anyways, I'm so sorry. Let me throw this over to the moon correspondent. And we'll talk about this after the break.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, April 22nd. The waning gibbous moon makes nice in Libra today. Here, the moon opposes Venus. Venus is in its sign of detriment, Aries. So we're trying to decide if it's more important to please everyone or to please ourselves. Unfortunately, today, it'll be very difficult to have it both ways. The moon in Libra is giving us the need to make sure we keep everyone calm, cool, and collected. But Venus in Aries is insisting that we make sure to tend to our own needs, no matter how that affects other people in our purview. Self-care is very important, so we need to make sure we don't leave that out of the equation. But we also need to be aware of the needs of the folks around us. So try to leave some room for some empathy while still allowing for some self-indulgence. Your daily moon mantra is, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, Spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
All right, we are back. Sometimes I just forget who I'm talking to. And I just start, I'm like, how should my plans go? Anyways, even though technically you heard me last week, I actually haven't talked to you guys in like 2 or 3 weeks because I had to get really ahead on recording. And the reason for this is I was going to be doing a lot of traveling. I went to Monticello, Florida, which is a really haunted little town, and I explored that. I officiated a friend's wedding, which I might do a little vlog about on the Patreon and just talk about that experience. What I thought about when doing a hand fasting, all the things that went wrong on my end. So I might vlog about that. And I did a photo shoot with Amanda Valentine, who's done quite a few covers for Witch Way. And I had a birthday. So I just wanted to get ahead so I could enjoy all those things without being concerned about recording. So it's actually been a while for me. So I'm so happy to be back. I missed all of you. And let's go ahead and keep going. So we're talking mirror magic and folklore. And this comes to us from the April 2024 issue of Witch Way magazine and writer Emma Catherine. So mirror magic and folklore. We've talked about mirrors before. We had a listener, I think maybe it was Lilith, ask about mirrors and magic, and we did a nice little deep dive on it. But let's talk a little bit more. Let's see. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? That line is perhaps one of the most well-known from fairy tales. We all know the story of Snow White and the magic mirror belonging to the evil queen, whether it's the Disney version or some other retelling. In one respect, this highlights just how important stories are to us on a human level, but it also tells us that the mirror is a magical item, a doorway to different worlds, and portal to otherwise hidden information and knowledge. The use of mirrors in magical practice goes all the way back to the ancient world. In ancient Greece, magicians used mirrors for scrying and perhaps other unknown workings, but such magic was considered negative. To understand this attitude, you have to first understand the role organized religion played. Ordained priests and priestesses of the gods could use such tools in their rites. Of course, they could. They were official and workings were normal for the good of the community or leaders of the day. But magicians, on the other hand, worked for profit and for their own personal gain. So because of this, the use of mirrors in magic often had negative connotations. Perhaps the most famous magic mirror from history, though, belonged to Elizabethan astrologer and magician John Dee. He used a mirror made from obsidian for scrying, and it was through this practice that he was able to communicate with angels, who in turn shared secrets of the future. Sometimes, though, mirrors described as magic weren't always used for otherworldly reasons and were enjoyed for their beautiful artistry and the play of light that they might induce. Such magic mirrors were used in China and date back to around the 5th century, though there is a suggestion that they may have been produced as early as 206 BCE. These mirrors were made of bronze, with the front being highly polished and used as a mirror, while often the backs were intricately carved. They were known as magic mirrors because when the sun hit them, they became transparent, projecting the carved imagery onto the wall or another surface. Seeing how the mirror and its magic has ancient roots, it's logical to assume that there would be lots of folklore and stories surrounding what has now become an everyday item we don't really think about, and you wouldn't be wrong. In Greek myth, Narcissus was a handsome mortal who rebuked the nymph, it says Echo's advances, I think that's Eros. Maybe there is an Echo, and I'm wrong, but I think it's Eros. So in Greek myth, Narcissus was a handsome mortal who rebuked the nymph Echo's advances. Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty, witnessed the cruel knockback and so punished the vain mortal by cursing him to fall in love with his own reflection. When he next saw himself in a pool of water, Narcissus was entranced and everything else fell away. With no desire to eat, drink, or do anything besides stare at himself, he soon grew weak and died. Perhaps out of feelings of guilt or to act as a reminder, Aphrodite turned his body into the Narcissus flower. It's not only the Greeks who had deities and spirits associated with mirrors. In Aztec culture, an important god, Tezcatlipoca, and I did look that up, is associated with mirrors and magic. Indeed, the name can be translated to smoking mirror. This deity is somewhat a mixed figure, a sky god, but one also associated with black magic. One of his symbols is a black mirror, and you guessed it, it's made of obsidian, which he saw and knew all there was to see and know. So apparently this mirror could like give him all knowledge. In some African traditional religious and magical practices, such as voodoo and obeah, the mirror is used to represent the other world through which the spirits and iwa communicate. Oh, it's loa, I'm sorry. Which the spirit communicates and pass through, which is often represented as an even armed cross and can be seen in many of the veves of the Iwa and within symbology and obeah rituals. And in Haitian voodoo, many of the dances involve circling to the left or serving with the left hand, and this represents the reflection in the mirror and the other side of which are the Iwa. And so by serving or circling to the left, voodooists are really doing so with the right. So they act as if they are in a mirror. And I think that's really interesting. So there's so many things you can do with mirrors. You can do mirrors as divination with scrying. You can use mirrors for ancestral work. You can scry with a meditation and journey work. There's so many things you can do with mirrors and spell work. I even had somebody who I did a class in New Orleans, and I wish I could remember the teacher, but they were talking about how you could take a puppet of yourself and kind of use the puppet to cast out magic, but put a mirror in there to push the magic back onto yourself. So it's almost like instead of doing spell work on someone else, you're doing spell work on yourself by using a mirror. I thought it was really an interesting concept. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Lauren Wilson. Lauren, you spiffy magical mongoose. Christina Gerritsen, you esoteric scintillating barn owl. Veronica, you formidable scrumptious leprechaun. And Monica Moon, you innocent celestial seer. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull from the Jane Austen tarot deck. And our card is Ace of Hearts. Creativity. With the calligraphy pen, one can write beautiful and imaginative words. All right, witches. So we had to postpone the Practical Magic movie night to this upcoming Sunday. And the reason was is because I've never done anything like this before. And we had tech issues, which, yeah, unfortunately, it was just one of those things when, you know, this whole setup was absolutely brand new to me. I had no one helping me and we had some tech issues, but I'm pretty confident I have it sorted out. And we will be doing it next Sunday night for the Patreon people. There's going to be trivia. We'll watch the old trailer. We'll watch some special features as well. During commercial breaks, we'll talk about how it relates to real magic. And I'm super excited. So that's next Sunday for the Patreon fam. So if you missed it this Sunday, well, yay, you get to watch next Sunday. It won't be recorded. It's going to be live only, okay? And yeah, it was a really intricate setup that I did all myself, and I spent like a month and a half getting set up. And then ultimately, I just picked the wrong platform to stream on, which wasn't even like my choice. It was like last minute, the one I knew would work. Was giving me a hard time. So I was like, well, screw it. We'll just do YouTube. But YouTube just wouldn't let us. So I have it all figured out for next time. So next Sunday. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, text, headline sources. Anything we reference can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day. Full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.